Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature, so keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mates and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started.
It's the booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
Well, I mean, the tragedy, which we've been talking about a lot of tragedy so far, but this is beyond tragedy, Ryan. No TV until when?
I think I probably was in my early teens. There was a Rugby World Cup. My mom went away on vacation and my dad brought a TV home for the Rugby World Cup.
Oh, wow. Which, not to age you, but which Rugby World Cup was it?
I actually don't remember. I don't remember. And we used to borrow the neighbor's VCR. We used to bring it over every now and then.
Jesus Christ, that's a jail sentence. I'm telling you.
No kidding.
No TV in the house. Mm-hmm.
Did you have to talk to your parents growing up?
Yeah, probably. And with my siblings was deprived, as you said.
Wow. Once you got a TV, did you binge on? Hardcore though all the time?
Yeah. When I got to university,
that's all you did was watch TV.
MTV.
Binge.
My life.
Didn't you have a period though, Ree, where you did get a TV, then you guys would be a mad scramble to go back to your reading or your homework and your mom would feel the top of the TV to see if you'd been watching it?
Yeah. Well, when we got it, she got home, she was pretty irate. We were used to it. And she'd get home from work. We'd get home before her and we'd watch out the window and we'd scramble and she'd come up and feel the TV and then get it.
One of those old box ones, right? Encased in wood.
Was it ever awkward when you sat down beside her with the remote when you were older? Was something on? Were you like, oh fuck?
She's pretty into her TV now. Things changed pretty quick. She discovered PBS, and it wasn't us that were the problem anymore. Anyway, moving on.
Well, it's Footy Prime the podcast, and that's one of Canada's all-time great footballers, Ruud Mogensen, who was deprived of life pretty much in her early years. I mean, no TV. I mean, God, that's. TV raised me, for Christ's sakes. Jesus. Yeah. That was the babysitter. Anyway, it's Footy Prime the podcast. Rian's stepping in because Craig is he in Winnipeg still? Is he in Palm Springs now? Where is he?
I think he's in the middle of his flight. I think he left at 5 o'clock Eastern time, he said.
And where's his clubs?
Clubs are with him, supposedly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They went on a journey.
Yes. They got some great travel points.
Well, Ryan, thanks so much for joining us. You're very honored, actually, because it is the second ever Sexy Six. Although it's kind of a Sexy Seven today because there's seven questions, because the supporters have given us one as well. A great one. But JC's already made the song, so we can't change it. Right, JC?
Things can be changed. I mean, let's face it. I've changed our opening music about four times. Just slightly.
No, I don't. You know what? I think it's very Footy Prime-ish that we have the wrong number associated with the title. Although there's six of us, right? And we're pretty fucking sexy. So that works.
And now we have Rian. Rian's fucking bringing the sexy.
I brought my pleather jacket, Amy.
Yes, but you're just meant to wear your sports bra underneath.
and do it.
Too much going on there, Ian. Too much going on.
Well, anyway, if you hadn't listened to last week's Sexy Six, basically each of us, well, this time this week, we each have a question to submit, right? We'll each host a round of questions, and then we'll see where it goes, all right? And we'll end up with the supporters question at the end. All right, so let's get things started. Now, we need more brevity this time around because last week's show went very long, and Wong has shown me his phone for some reason.
I'm going to play the music so we know we're in the Sexy Six.
Right.
Is that okay, the intro music?
Sure, you want to play it now?
Well, that's what we did last time.
Okay, let's play it now.
Consistency.
Well, I thought we wanted some form of consistency.
And cue music.
Thank you. The hottest takes.
It's not working. It's just not working.
Did we not say we didn't want any delays today?
We preached consistency and it didn't work.
How come it didn't work? What was going on?
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
JC knows the point now when to roll it in.
The hottest takes on the hottest questions from the hottest team in sports. This is the Sexy Six.
There were six questions. There's six of us. That's why they call it Sexy Six Questions.
Anyway, okay, so we'll try and get through a little bit quicker than last time. Around the 45, 50-minute mark, hopefully we're done, and then we'll get to footy picks. We've got some interesting ones this week, and I've already put them in, so it'll be a lot smoother, right? So that is what you call being prepared for a podcast. All right, it is the Sexy Six. All right, let's start. Dubs, let's start with let me kick things off, okay?
Yes, please.
I'll kick things off with the first question, all right? Okay, now I'm not sure if you saw this, everyone, but earlier this week, Barcelona are selling patches of turf from the Camp Nou. You can buy a turf for, I think, about 20 euros up into about 420 euros, depending on how it's put together. You can buy a little stadium to put it in. You can actually buy diamonds made from the carbon of the turf as well for like 15,000 euros. It's ridiculous. All right. My question is, what turf would you spend your money on? All right. Dubs, let's start with you.
Okay. So Anfield would be the obvious, easy answer if it were for sale.
1,000 points.
But I found a loophole in your wording. And I'm going to say that I'd spend my money on a piece of land around here and build about a 10K capacity soccer-specific stadium for women's soccer in Quebec.
How can I not give you lots of points for that? I can't, can I, not give you lots of points?
Yeah, the pressure's on you now in terms of how you award me.
I know. This is like the benchmark's been set here. All right, 20 points for that. That's a good one.
Yes.
Because, you know, you women don't have enough, do you? Eh? Jesus. It took you one question to get political in us, didn't it?
Should we talk about FIFA?
6 minutes in.
2027. They're already talking about the match schedule for 2026. There's still no venue for 2027 Women's World Cup.
Oh, yeah. You just lost 10 points, didn't you? You couldn't help yourself. We just had the conversation on the dark web, Dubs.
I knew that was going to come out. I just knew it. When it was on the dark web, it was coming out at some point. I didn't think it was going to come out 6 minutes in.
Although she delivered it without all caps. She wasn't yelling at us like she was on the dark web.
Kind of was yelling a little bit.
Right there you weren't. You had a nice delivery. So you still lost. You were still minus 10. But.
So you're buying a patch of land or a patch of grass, like a big patch, like a field-sized patch.
Yes.
Okay. That's a good answer. It is a good answer. All right. Overall, 10 points for that one, Dubs. JC.
Can you ask the question again there, Sharm?
Yeah. So Camp Nou, you can buy a patch of turf from the Camp Nou because they're obviously redoing the stadium, right?
Yeah.
For 20 bucks. And there's all these different varieties of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, what turf? I gave you these fucking questions yesterday.
I know, but I don't understand how we just bought fucking 15 acres of land when we're talking about a little piece of turf.
All subjective. Well,
how much money do we have? Do I got 100 bucks to buy a little piece of turf or do I got 20 million to go buy turf?
Maybe Dubs is ambitious.
Yep. Be creative, buddy.
Be creative. Okay. So what turf would you spend your money on, Jay?
Buy 2 acres on the moon.
Adjacent to the already ones you already own.
I can see how it wasn't a tight podcast the last time you did
this. Yeah, right. This is the first question. JC, what would you buy? What would you buy? Come on, let us know.
Well, when I was about 14, I found about 7 acres of what I thought was marijuana plants. Turned out to be just like weeds, and I smoked them and got really sick. So I would probably, and I don't do nothing wrong with weed or whatever. I don't personally smoke it or whatever, but I think I would redeem myself by buying an acre of that would be my turf, would be full of real marijuana this time. And then I'd sell smoking. It. Yes, that's sure.
Why not? Business operation. Okay. I like that. Yeah. Yep. Okay, good. 15 points. 15 points for that one. I like that. All right.
Why is that? Because of the entrepreneurship of it?
Yeah. I appreciate that, right? And even though he doesn't smoke himself, he's happy to help others.
Thanks, Pie Man.
And provide their addiction.
Addiction.
Okay, that's why. All right, Jimmy. God, okay, Jimmy. Already you've got minus 10 points.
Just minus 10? Well, I talked about equity, and I got minus 10, and he's fucking unprepared, and he just gets minus 10?
Another minus 10 for you, Dubs.
What I would like to do, which I think would be special, would be having a 12-inch by 12-inch piece of every club that I played for and put together in a frame and a wall.
That's nice.
Simple answer. Sentimental. Makes sense. Give me the fucking points, please.
Well, that's very good. I don't know much about turf, right? But wouldn't it like go all brown and die? It would, right?
Well, it depends. I'm putting it in a case.
No, don't put it in a case. You're going to have a live wall. You know, one of those.
Oh, yes. Oh, Rian's got it.
Rian's got an extra 10 points already. That's a great guy.
How many points?
Well, you just lost the whole whack, but Rian took your 10 points.
Oh, no, I was supporting him.
No, I like that.
I already see what's happening here. I'm getting fucked today. I know it.
No, I was supporting you. I wanted to.
I know. That's what I mean. You're supporting me, and he's still giving it to me.
No, because you didn't give enough thought, though. Right? You said, I'll just put it behind a case. Like, oh, that'll work. It'd be like shriveled and dead within about a week.
Where do you want me to put it, Sharms, on my island?
Like a living wall, like Rian said.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I said put it in a big kind of frame with all the little patches of the turf where I played, and that would be sentimental to me.
Would
so why am I not getting points for this?
And then when it would it all dies, die like symbolic? Your career did.
Like, I mean,
so ouch. Mean.
All right, Wunger.
I'm going to be self-serving. We've been getting pushed a lot for investment in a soccer club, a football club. I'm doing what Amy's doing, but I'm going to make sure that it's in Toronto. And it's a spot where we can start our own either Project 8 team. It's a spot we can either whatever team that will take us. Footy Prime is going to have a Footy Prime Primers Club. So I'm going to buy 10 kilometers out of the in Regent Park and build
10 kilometers
in where?
10 kilometers?
10K by 10K, a huge spot.
Giant spot in Regent Park.
Yeah, and we'll do it in Regent Park. It's an underdeveloped area with people who need. It's the place where they first put in a grocery store and a bank over 5 years ago, and it's revitalized the area. And I would like to start making people move and come to watch football in the middle of the city. That's what I want.
Don't people still live there, Wunga? Don't people still live in Regent Park?
Yeah, I'm not going to blow anything down. That's well, not going to be blown
where the
down
hell is
already.
10 kilometers squared.
Where are you getting 10 kilometers by 10
one,
kilometers?
About 1 kilometer.
Oh my God, Rian still has an answer.
You're like, no, he is a freaking slumlord. He's kicking people out. That's what he's doing. He's a prick. He just lost 20 points. What a dickhead. Jesus.
I thought I was doing something for the football community, but obviously I'm just a slumlord.
Disappointing asses. Okay, yep. Rian.
Yeah. So I Googled turf to be original. So I'm going to go surf and turf. I'm going to Japan to have Wagyu beef.
I love that one, actually. That is good.
Not bad, but give her points.
Yeah, all for you. I like that it's all self-serving for her.
Oh, yeah.
Just for her.
Japan. I have to go to Japan to have, you know.
And what's the cost? What's the flight like from Vancouver to Japan? It's not super far, eh?
Is it 16 hours?
It's pretty painful still, I think. I don't know. Maybe more.
I like the way you're not considering your good friend Amy Walsh here.
No, I purposely did it for Amy Walsh.
You just gained another 10 points.
Wagyu. Like it.
All right, so that's good. Okay, first question done, and we're just 13 minutes in. That's great. The brevity is going well. Okay, Dubs, you're up next. And you hand out the prizes. You hand out the points here, okay?
Oh, right. My question.
Just let me know.
I forgot this. How this is working. Mm. Okay. And I get to pick the order as well?
Mm-hmm.
Who's going? Okay. Namibia produced the biggest shock so far in an AFCON full of upsets by defeating former champions Tunisia 1-0 on Tuesday, while Jimmy Brennan's Bristol City stunned Craig Forest's West Ham to move on in the FA Cup. In honor of these remarkable upsets, what is the biggest underdog match or narrative you've ever been a part of? Start with you, Sharms.
All right, 2007, working for The Score, very much the third of the three major Canadian sports networks, right? Like way down there. We couldn't compete for much. And then walked into work one day and got called into my boss's office and goes, guess what, Shams? We just won the rights to the Premier League for the next 3 years. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? The Premier League? Sportsnet had it for years, TSN before them. And I was just absolutely blown away that for 3 years we had the rights to the Premier League. It came from nowhere. From nowhere. And that was my answer, which is pretty decent, I think. It's not like World Cups or Olympics, but it's something.
That was a big deal.
I like it. It's personal. Slightly lacking a little bit of spark. I give you 15.
Yeah.
15?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Zero fucking enthusiasm.
Well, I'm like, I know that I'm competing against like former professional athletes, right? So clearly your answers are going to be better than mine. So I can't assume in defeat before I even started.
I think 15 points is great. A media story? Yeah, you got a contract? That's a great story.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck?
Yep, I like it. You had to wait. You were last the first round, so let's hear from Ryan. And you set a high bar with your first answer, too, so got to match. Yeah.
I have to go with the obvious, so 2012, the U.S.-Canada game. And it wasn't an upset. We lost 4-3, but I think it was one of the games that really put the Canadian women on the map. And really highlighted a lot of careers that have really gone on. Like a lot of women in Canada that played in that game have become household names because of it. So a pretty special game to be a part of.
Yep.
That's a good one.
Rian, can I ask that? Are you, like, that was the one where they were just kept calling things to make it seem like the U.S. was going to win, correct? Wasn't that the one?
Yeah, it wasn't, I mean, not exactly. We scored, they scored, so it was a back and forth. And then I think when we were up 3-2, they called the 6-second rule on Aaron McLeod.
Yes.
First time it was ever called and there was no warning. Yeah. And then they called a penalty against Nariev, no, for what could have been deemed like arm against the body. So felt a little bit like things were stacked against us for a bit there. And then they...
That was when... And wasn't the men's Gold Cup around that time when they were playing the States and they were getting called left, right, and center for stupid fouls? They had a goal that was disallowed.
Oh, in the hockey?
I think you guys got screwed over, and then the men got screwed over like a couple years after by CONCACAF.
Very likely. It also happened in the women's hockey, U.S. and Canada, where
they're
calling penalty.
That's right.
So this narrative piece. So the men, the women, and the hockey, I think it's really helped that rivalry, which historically, especially on the women's side, has been so one-sided, but it's still been great for the game for sure.
Yeah. Well, it was also, that was the tournament, right, where I think women's soccer began being covered properly by the mainstream media for the first time. You know, the hardcore sports people who did soccer covered it before then, but the mainstream jumped on that, the Olympics, and then the adversity and the bullshit you guys faced in that match got so much exposure that even though you lost, it almost elevated the game more than had you won in some regards.
Well, actually, we didn't have any coverage in that. We had one guy from RDS with us from the beginning for the group stages.
Really?
And then when we got through with one win, one tie, one loss, we got out of group stage. We went on to start getting momentum. And then that game, I think people start tuning in because it hit social media. So social media, and then everyone get it. And then we ended up winning the bronze against all odds. That would be the second biggest underdog story. We were played off the park by France. And then the gods or the god, whichever way you roll, was on our side because there's no way we brought that bronze home. But the better team was probably France that day.
Well, I was going to give you 25 points because it was a really, really good answer. And then you brought theology into it. So minus 5 points. So 20 points.
It was pretty all encompassing.
A very, very strong answer.
It's a tough crowd, honestly.
That was also when Sinky, after that US game, said the ref was fucking awful and she thought that she called her a fucking whore, right?
Yeah.
Is that Cincy or Sinky? Who was it? Oh, sorry.
Shut.
Jesus. Hardka.
Remember who's in charge of the points here, Jimmy?
Yeah, Dubs right now.
I'm in charge right now.
You are. Can we drop the 5 points to Jimmy?
Minus 5 points for Charms.
For me?
In anticipation of the mispronunciation.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, minus five.
Hey, Steve Nash is Cincy, so shut up. Anyway, keep going,
Dubs. He's wrong. Jimmy.
Okay, so mine would probably be Gold Cup 2000. When we beat Mexico, we were the underdogs. We played them in San Diego, pro-Mexican crowd, and we beat them in extra time. And then going to the final and beating Colombia in the final. That was probably one of the biggest moments for me, being an underdog. And in England, yeah, I had FA Cup games, but we never had that kind of that big gap where, you know, you're playing five divisions below you sort of thing. So I think for me, it would be the Mexico game because that was a big one. We were not meant to win that at all. Everybody counted us out.
It's a good answer.
Oh, thank you very much.
I like it. Not as strong as Rian's. I'll give you 10 points.
Why 10? Like, why not 15?
It's a nice round number.
Well, in fairness, Rian had 15, but then Dubs. I had 15. Then Dubs knocked me back 5 points.
Did I get 20? I got 25 and not 5 for Rian. Oh, God.
I see. Rian gets 25, but I get 10. And it was a good answer, but almost as good as Rian's.
Sometimes it's compared.
So I'm 15 points.
You're graded on the curve, though, Jimmy. This is like university. You're graded on the curve.
I know what's happening.
It's great doing like a fun quiz with uber competitive people, isn't it?
Oh, no, my God. Not fair right now. It's not fair. I think we need a different judge. JC?
Minus 5 points for Jimmy.
There we go.
Minus 5. There we go.
For descent. 5 points. Longer,
petulance.
Yeah.
I'm up. I've got one championship in my entire career. Every time I got to a final, we lost. But it was the McGill Redmond Vanier Cup. But the biggest thing is going in, we're in the national semifinals at the Atlantic Bowl in Halifax, and in the national rankings, there's only four teams left. We were such underdogs that we were still ranked seventh.
That's amazing.
Only four teams left in the country and we're ranked seventh.
We really?
So we end up winning that game on a last second field goal, go to the final. Against University UBC, against the Thunderbirds. They hadn't lost in 2 years. They were a 17-point favorite. So we go to that game. They hadn't lost in 2 years, and we beat them by the biggest amount of ever anyone's ever lost a Vanier Cup. So it was a great victory, unexpected, and what a role we had. So, and we went to go meet the mayor of Montreal and drank booze. Molson had like four parties for us, and we were on the St. Patrick's Day parade. We had
what?
A McGill. Yeah, it was made. People were passing us.
You guys had your own float?
Yeah, we had our own float. It was the year you don't want to forget. It was fantastic. Oh, it was almost as good as 4 years of Footy Prime. Almost. So it was
a lot more sex. A lot more sex. A lot more.
Oh my God! A lot more free. Beer. Freewheeling sex.
Sick and tired of paying for it, for fuck's sakes.
That's right. Crushed it, Walker. 20 points.
Now I got a medal. I can get whatever I want.
Would I get 20?
Yeah, 20 points.
Oh, 20 points. I love it. That was a good one. That was a good one. Yeah.
Love it.
All right. Who's up? Dubs, it's you and JC now. Oh, just give JC that.
Well, I don't answer my own question, do I?
No, you don't. No.
No. So, JC.
Your turn to. I'm throwing to you to throw to JC.
Okay. So efficient.
Okay. So I've got one. So last summer, I think it was around August, Mel and I had a trip that we were heading out to. We had to go to the city to head off on a trip. And we couldn't find our passports. And we're like, oh my God, this is insane. We got to go to Dominican because Mel's sister's getting married. But like, oh my God, what do we do? So we're looking around and we've just turned the place upside down. And then I'm like, wait a second. And I look over on the couch and Mira, my big rescue pit bull from Texas, is laying there looking all weird. So we're like, wait a second, let's go roll her over. So we rolled her over. There were the passports underneath the dog. What an underdog situation that was.
Oh my God.
The champion.
What can you say about that? That's the best one.
I mean,
sorry, Olympians and Gold Cup champions. I'm sorry, but.
No, I know. The wordplay, the delivery. In itself, you were the underdog story, JC. I give you 30 points.
Mm. Yes. Well done.
My first 30. Yeah.
It's tough to argue that one, though, isn't it?
Fantastic one.
Do you think she did it on purpose because she just did not want you to leave?
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Because when I get bags, any kind of bag comes to the front door, my dogs start like shitting themselves. Like, what are you doing? Where are you going? Trembling. That's how they talk.
Slightly better than your Shen Hog.
Yeah, a little bit, right?
Slightly.
Yeah. Sometimes all my dogs speak Swiss. I don't know why. It's weird. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So that's another round in the books. Who's next? Oh, JC. JC, it's your turn to play Quizmaster.
Okay. So I'll keep it short and sweet. So this past week in India, there was a story about a person named Darshan Singh, an 80-year-old gentleman who passed away, unfortunately, was on life support for four days and passed away. From the hospital, the gentleman was being transported back to his family's home where he was to be memorialized and then cremated. There was driving down the road. It must have been an older road. There was a pothole that was massive. The ambulance hit the pothole so hard that it jump-started the man's heart and he came back to life. And it's a real story. So my question is, this is a bit of an existential one. Have you ever experienced an unexpected bump in the road that seemed detrimental but ended up changing your life or career trajectory for the better? Bonus points if it happened in India. Oh, I'll start off because I slept on your couch and used your pillow last night, Dan Wong. Let's start that way.
Did you slept on the couch?
Yeah, we went we didn't want to disturb your bed because it's just such a holy place.
Oh, dude, I want it to be all filthy when I go and sleep on it in the weekend.
I did things to your pillow, I won't tell you which one.
No, and that's even better. I like guessing.
Pink
eye. That's a fun surprise. Little pink eye's a fun surprise.
G-G-I.
It you said career, so I have to think that 4.5 years ago, leaving Eggplant Picture and Sound, great gig, but I wasn't doing the work I wanted to do. And the first started a company called G-Now Media. First project G-Now Media does is say, hey, why don't we start working with Sharms and Deitch and Kreger and let's do a podcast. And then saw JC and I said, can you do a voiceover for us while he was getting a coffee at the bar? And that turned into what is now Footy Prime. So that was a crossroads where we kind of all decided to bet on ourselves. Those guys, their contract was up with Sportsnet. And, you know, there is really something about working towards a goal together collaboratively and bringing in people that you enjoy. And honestly, every time I think of this show, even when I was away in Dominican and loving being away, I've had a bit of FOMO of like, what joke did I miss? When I think I said this, when I came back and Craig had, you got to fuck with the cock you have. I was like, that was a brilliant line, and I love it still. So there's something that I took out of that, and it changed the trajectory of my life. So, and even more, we were number 803 in India this week.
Ooh. Really?
No, I don't know. I was just making that up.
Huh. Well, so that's bonus points. I mean, I can't not give Wonger the top echelon for that answer, which is what?
Whatever you want it to be.
I think 30 is the highest so far, isn't it? But you can go wherever you want.
I'm going to go 29. Only I want Dan's next answer to go for that 30.
Thank you. I see.
I love you.
I love you.
29.
What pillow? What pillow did you have sex with? I want to know what pillow you had sex with.
Pillows. Oh, you'll know. Pillows.
You'll know. It'll have a two-inch dent in it.
God.
Oh, you're so generous. Thank you.
Obviously, you didn't turn the heating on.
That's right.
Coldest house ever, by the way. Rian.
I have to follow that.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not the story, the 2-inch comment.
Your story's bound to be longer.
story of my
well life. Done, Dubs. Yeah. Well done. See, dude, now you're back in points? The game. Yeah, now you're back point. In the game.
Back in.
That could be more points. JC is Quizmaster. Yeah. So bonus points for Dubs?
100%.
Yeah, I think right after university. The WUSA collapsed, the first iteration of the women's league. So when I graduated, I retired from soccer. Essentially, there was nowhere to play. So I was working for a company in downtown Montreal, just doing the commute. It was winter. Like, I just remember winter and being on the train and never seeing daylight. And I got out of the blue an email from Hege Riise, who is a Norwegian sort of legend, and asking me if I wanted to come to Norway to play. And so the bump in the road's actually just having to retire at 21, which is what happened, and then getting this email. And I think it really put things in perspective for me. I wasn't with the national team. I'd been sort of, I wasn't making camps at that time in the national team. And it really set up a career where you're not just grateful, but you're just fighting because you know what it's like when you don't have an opportunity. So I do think it changed the trajectory of my life, just being denied something. And then because my parents are British, I have, at the time, an EU passport, and it allowed me to play in Norway. So that has defined what I'm doing now with Project Aid and making sure that there's different opportunities now, hopefully at home for women, so I don't have to do that.
And all teams will have TVs in their dressing rooms.
I don't know. Like, it's an interesting question about TVs. Would you want your kids to have social media now? Like, this is that's the equivalence now, I think.
Yeah, mine do.
It's brutal. You could control it though, but it's
you try to control it. It's brutal.
That is, I gotta say that was a huge bump that bumped and then it turned into something amazing.
Yeah,
so that was very good. I'm gonna go 25 on that one.
Oh, can I think dock me points for the TV comments. So
well, the other thing I'd like to do.
Well, that was
give him ideas, Rian.
JC, can I fight against Rian getting more points? Because I'm thinking that it'd be great to understand that.
I don't think you should, Wonger, because
she's talking about trajectory.
You get deduct points. It's
no, but her trajectory.
No, that's just you, Jimmy. Just you.
Her trajectory is right here. She's on Footy Prime in the middle of January. It's pitch dark, and she's on like. I don't know what she's doing. I don't know if it's as good as she thinks it is.
Yeah, because I mean, some stuff did happen between that time and now, but look where you are. I mean, you've ended up here. So
Rian was selling drugs.
The field, you know.
Every club's got like a dealer, right? Was Rian the dealer in the women's national program?
She was the furthest thing from the dealer than you can imagine.
You were going to like talk me up there, Biddy.
No. Too wholesome to be the dealer.
Okay. So from the drug dealer to the pie dealer, James, you're up.
Well, that's a good segue, actually, because COVID was amazing. It's the best thing ever, right? So COVID hits, and I'm just starting up this pie company, frozen pie company, which I began after being gassed by Sportsnet And then they give me a little severance. This, rather than spend it on mortgages and our near future and education for my child and making sure she's happy and medicine for her, we throw it towards a frozen pie business instead. And then COVID hits, storefront isn't finished. We're trying to finish the kitchen. We panic. Shit, what are we going to do now? And then suddenly people think, no, we're going to start ordering your pies online because we like the food being delivered. So that was a massive pivot as COVID hit, which could have been terrifying and disastrous. On the contrary, it helped us really grow and grow and grow and grow. And we're not there yet, but we're well on our way. So that's, COVID was an amazing thing for us. I don't want to see it again, but from a business standpoint, it didn't hurt us.
And I like that you gave props to COVID. I do.
Minus points. That's
COVID.
Well, COVID gets such a bad rap.
Right? It does.
The quote pulled from this podcast out of context would be like, James Sherman, let's hear it for COVID.
Well, just so I don't ruffle, like, I can't give bad marks to anybody.
Sure you can.
Okay, 20. Nice. I'll go 20.
All right.
Because Jimmy's to be fair, if it wasn't for COVID also, I don't think that the momentum that we have. Well, we wouldn't have had those like secret show meetings where we weren't supposed to be together, but we were together and social distancing and, getting really drunk in an abandoned studio. It was great.
It's a real team of creativity, right? From
it really was. It's a pivot. It was a pivot time when people really found themselves. All right, let's make it 25.
Attaboy.
Okay. I'm going Jimmy because I know Amy's is going to be like epic. So
boy,
mine's not a big one. It's just about, I'm going to go with my career when I was younger. Okay. How I got into playing football and getting into the first team. So when I was younger and I was at Bristol City, I was in the reserve team. And that just goes to show you, when I first went over to Bristol, I was a striker. And then that's where they signed me as a striker. I end up going to left back, right? Obviously wasn't a good striker. So I went to left back and then a wing back. That was my role, or center midfield, okay? I thought it was great, thought I could score goals. Clearly couldn't when I went to England. And then I started doing really well in the reserve team, okay? And I couldn't get into the first team because I had two players that were in front of me, a guy called Mickey Bell, and I had another guy called Brian Tinian, who probably had some of the best left feet I've ever seen in my life. It was ridiculous, right? Really, really good. And I just could not get into this team. And all the other guys that were coming into the reserves were getting first team football. I wasn't. I had a couple opportunities to go on loan, but I couldn't get a chance to go on loan because they didn't want to send me off on loan. So we had a manager that came over, and he was from Sweden. His name was Benny Leonhardsen, okay? Great manager, good banter, kind of looked like Santa Claus, a Swedish Santa Claus, okay? Big beard, fucking burly guy, red cheeks. And he was a great manager. And he liked me a lot, but he knew I couldn't get into the side. And the right back gets injured, okay? So I remember he called me, and I'm in the squad now for the first team. And I'm like, why the fuck am I in the squad here? And before the match, he goes, Jimmy, you're playing right back today. In front of everybody, as you know me, what the fuck do you mean I'm playing right back? He goes, you're playing right back today. I said, have you seen my right foot? Like, I don't use my right foot. Why am I playing? No, you're okay. You're going to play left back. So that opportunity that he gave me, and I thought I was struggling here. I wasn't getting into the first team. But because the right back got injured, he believed in me. I ended up getting into the first team as a right back. Wing back, and I played, I think, 23 games in a right back position before the left back got injured, and then I went to the left side, and then that's when my career really took off. But it wasn't for him to give me that opportunity and break it into the first team on the right side, I would have never probably got into that team.
That is the right answer. You left nothing on the table.
Very clever.
I like that, because that's a pivotal moment in your career.
Right?
That's a big
right. The heart stopped, and all of a sudden,
and then left.
Right.
All right. And then left. Okay, so 25 also.
Oh, suck my fucking, what?
Come on, that was 25?
They're all getting 29s, 30s, 35.
Nobody got 30.
They got a 29.
Dan got 29 because I know the rest of his answers are going to be shite.
Mm.
So he's going to get none. Okay, no, I can't. No, that's good. 25.
That's 25. A great score, Jimmy.
Good score, Jesus.
No, it's not. It's not
bad at all.
Considering what score I received on the previous ones.
Oh, boy.
I mean, this is every week for me.
There have been two.
Winja.
2 weeks.
Winja. I mean, like, you're so close to losing points right now.
That's true. Oh, Amy, go.
I was going to say, I think it's me.
I think it's
follow that
process. Please give her 30 points just to piss off Jimmy.
Yeah, just give them to me. Sorry now.
God, JC, I'll drive down to your house right now.
Please do. If you could get through the snow, please come and hang, man.
We were doing very well for time, by the way. We were. But
no, I know. And in the spirit of brevity, I will be concise with my answer here. So the bump in the road for me was knee injury late in my career, where a couple of orthopedic surgeons told me that I would never be able to play again. And I got surgery on my kneecap. They drilled holes in it. I was able to come back, and just making that squad to go to the Olympics was a big accomplishment for me. But then through that journey to make it back to the pitch, I discovered yoga. And then discovering yoga, it led me to have more of an intimate knowledge and curiosity about my own body, about my breathing, about my mobility. And then when my career was done, after I had Jack, and again, that was something that was decided for me, I taught athletes, I taught everyday people, I taught a bunch of, like, I got into kettlebells, got into a bunch of stuff, but it led me back to the game, and it led me to where I am now. It led me here, it led me in broadcasting, it led me in a bunch of various roles, and I have the game to thank for it, but I'm in a much better headspace now, and I've gleaned a ton of experience from the various things that I did in that decade before I worked my way back to the game. So, but it's probably, I can trace it back to that knee injury and discovering yoga as kind of that pivotal moment that led me down this path.
Fuck, that was a good answer.
Yeah, it was a good answer. Yeah.
I'm going to say this as well. And the only reason why is because I was getting a lot of injuries, and there was an individual that told me to get into yoga, and I got into yoga, and I went through a preseason and a season without one injury. Fuck.
Yep.
that was it.
You know, I'll tell you this. I was going to go with 25 also, but Jimmy, you just kind of put the icing on the cake.
Dubs. No, because I can relate to it. That's 30. Why I can relate, yes, to it.
Dubs with the 30.
Jimmy,
you could have put that on yours, man. I would have been
Jimmy, what are you doing, man?
Bumped me up.
Just keep your mouth shut. Jesus.
No, because yoga, I agree with it. I think it's so important.
So painful, though, isn't it?
Doesn't have to be. That's the wrong kind of yoga, then.
I'm not an elite athlete, Dubs. My body doesn't bend in certain ways. I can't hold it in positions.
It's very, poor Tony.
Yeah. Oh no. Trust me. She should get a medal. She should get a medal. Enduring that 20 years. Jesus. All right. Nice question there, JC. That went down.
Sorry,
well.
Okay, Jimmy. Long. I apologize.
No, it's not your fault. It's the answer. It's not the question.
Oh, man.
Right, it's our fault. Jimmy, you've been whining all show. You've got a chance now for revenge, haven't you? You're the quiz master.
Charms.
You
just can
dish out. So take it away, Jimmy. Fairness. It's all yours.
Okay, are we ready for this? This is a very good question, by the way. Over time, we have heard numerous athletes from various sports retire early from the game that they once loved. There are many reasons for their individual decisions, such as pressure, injuries.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Toxic environment, emotion, stress, not being able to keep standards high, and so on. Has there ever been a moment in your career where you questioned yourself and came close to walking away from your job or your sport?
I mean, he's applauding himself.
Self-congratulations.
It's a good question.
It is a good question.
It's a good question.
Oh, it's a very good question.
Yeah. We've all been there. We've all been there. Let's get on the table, folks.
The hardest. That's the most Jimmy's written or worked on in his life.
Who's up, Jimmy?
I'm going to go with my favorite, Rianne.
I'll keep it tight. I think after the 2011 World Cup, we crashed out. Canada finished last. We had a terribly disappointing World Cup for us, but also our fans. I talked about 2012. We built momentum and this was right before 2012, 2011. And 2008 had been such a great experience, the Olympics, and it just felt like we'd peaked, you know? And so I actually... I did tell my family I was retiring. I was done. I was really depressed. It wasn't how I wanted to finish my career. And then John Herdman got hired, and he convinced me to come back. And that was one of those. It could have been the answer for the last question. It changed my life and my career. But I actually announced my retirement. Yeah. And then backtracked. Yeah.
Wait a second. You announced it to everybody?
I didn't. I mean, I wasn't using social media, but I told everyone.
Because you told your fans, that was the point where you just like, I'm done.
I was a defender. There were no fans for me, but I did have, you know, my family was interested.
Yeah. And minus points for waffling on your decision.
Yeah. So yeah. Basically, Sophie Schmidt stole your idea.
Oh, I'm coming back. Yeah, it's true. I should take it out.
Yeah, she owes you.
No, I was definitely, well, I don't think I was alone. I think a lot of people just hit the wall and were like, what are we doing here? And it goes to show just a great coach like Jimmy had, like just someone who gets you or understands it, what you're trying to achieve. And then that reignites that passion for the game. So John really did that. And those that are disciples of John, whether that's positive or negative, that's up to interpretation, but he definitely changed my life. So.
I like that you were self-deprecating. And I know I'm not getting judged, but about your family, like, yeah, they were moderately interested. I like that delivery.
Unfortunately, that's true. My mother still barely knows where I am or what I am.
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to give that a 25 because if I look at that, you were on your way out. You were done.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the game that you love. You were like, I'm leaving this behind now. Mm. And then you got pulled back in. So 25. I like that story.
Thank you, Jimmy. I will continue to support you.
Thank you very much. Wonger, please.
Saccharin. Jesus Christ.
I like this question, Jimmy, because I actually did leave a job/career in sports television. I was so sick and tired of the politics of broadcasting in Canada at Sportsnet at the time. And I know it was the same thing at TSN, the same thing at CBC, CTV. There was a big realignment with digital and all of these different plays, and people were trying to figure out which direction to go. I got sick of working in sports. And when I got tired and I didn't like I had a television, you know, a 32-inch television on my desk, and I could watch sports at any time of the day, and I didn't want to. And I realized that my job was taking away my enthusiasm to watch sports. And when that happened, I went, you know, there's something wrong here. I've got to reprioritize. I had my second daughter was coming on her way.
there had to be a shift in my life that I could be more present, more enthusiastic about going to a job that you enjoy. And so that was my shift away from sports television. But look at me 15 years later, and we're back to where we started, where we're hustling, enjoying the work we're doing and making it our own way and creating our own opportunities and directions without all of these political, ties and feeling like a puppet sometimes in that big overarching corporate life. So yeah, there you go, Jimmy. I did leave.
Just when you think you've left, they pull you back in.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't know if you can go home again, but it's not the same home anymore. If Rogers came to us right now and said, Footy Prime, we want you on 3 days a week, 5 days a week. It's not the same Rogers anymore. It's us with a successful podcast, number one Canadian produced podcast in the country. And it's us telling them, hey, we want to partner with you, but on our, you know, with our approach. So there you go.
That was very good. Very good. From the heart. I can see the passion.
Yeah. Well, fuck it.
I can hear it in your voice. I can see in your face. I'm going to give you a 25. That was beautiful.
Wow. I got Reed, I think, on my side, too.
You were on the way out.
He's showing some passion tonight.
You want Reed on your side, believe me.
I'm going to go with, let me have a little bit of JC, please.
Well, here's the thing. Growing up in a...
See, there's a dog. There's this big dog I adopted. No, I'm just kidding.
So I will say thank you. Thank you, Dan. Growing up in the shadow of the mining industry, it was always that pressure to go and work in the coal mine. But my dream was to dance.
Oh, no.
Hey, I danced and I danced. And I said, no, I will not work in the coal mine. Eventually, my ankles gave out and I ended up marrying a dancer, a former dancer. And she just worked her way into, you know, my life. And so I inadvertently continued to dance. But I said no to going back to the coal mine. And so here I am today working on Footy Prime, the podcast, the end.
And you said, no, let the boy watch.
Let the boy watch.
Okay, I'm going to give you 15 for that one.
That's fair. That'll do.
Yeah.
Hey, my creativity was pretty damn good.
I thought you were going, you guys went Billy Elliot. I was going, what's the one with the girl does the spin, the head spin? And she was...
Footloose.
What a feeling.
Flash dance?
I thought you were going flash dance for that for a second.
I was going the full Monty, I think.
Oh, full Monty.
Oh, I thought it was.
Oh, I like the full Monty as well.
I bet Charlie Elliott too.
Dubs, you ready?
I think so.
Let's hear it.
I'm ready to be harshly judged, I believe. But yeah, so have I questioned myself? Yes, constantly. So many times. Cut from the national team in 97. I tore my PCL in 2002, cut from the team again in 2003 prior to that World Cup, told I'd never play again. I referenced that in a previous question. But I never questioned myself more than I did following my career. It's been a constant battle with imposter syndrome. So these are the battles that I continue to fight, is getting better. I'm finding my place kind of outside of the soccer realm, but it's been challenging. It's been difficult.
You're our imposter, Dubs.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I like your openness and your honesty. I will give you 23.
Very good. Mm-hmm. And Dubs, you're awesome.
Oh, and no, but I wasn't fishing. I wasn't fishing.
I know you weren't.
Stop.
But your self-doubt, Sharms and I, we've had three-way conversations. I didn't want to say three ways, but three-way conversations. I want to be clear. And your self-doubt, I get why you have it, but you nail things right away. There's a level where I'm like, I just, you don't have to ask anymore. You're right on with
99% of your gut reaction. So that's what I would go with.
Bang on. Has anybody seen Loudermilk?
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I'm there right now. Good job.
Can you help those that have not seen it?
No. It's on Netflix, but it was on Prime earlier.
It's on Netflix. You guys got to watch it. It's awesome.
Loudermilk.
Okay.
Loudermilk. Yeah. Good answer, Dubs. Very good. I like that. I like the openness and honesty.
You're the best, James.
Thanks, me.
Sharms, please. Go ahead.
If you recollect a previous answer, I mentioned how the Score won the rights to the Premier League in 2007 for 3 years, right? Well, a day later, I walk into work and get called into my boss's office. And he goes, hey, Sharms, guess what? We've sold the rights to Premier League back to Sportsnet. I'm like, hey, so what? What do you say? So what? Yeah. We've sold them back, all the rights there. All of them? Well, we've got one still, the Sunday mid-morning game.
A real banger.
I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? You know, in my head all night, I've been conjuring this great idea. The footy show is going to be born from this. We were going to take the jobs of Craig Forrest and Jerry Dobson and discard them on the scrap heap. I was so excited. It's the new era of Canadian broadcasting for the Premier League. And they fucking sold it. So for about a second, I almost walked out and wanted to fucking quit. It's goddamn stupid industry. There's nothing but break my goddamn heart every fucking year I worked in it. But then I realized I've got a mortgage to pay and I can do nothing else.
Yeah.
So I stuck around, but I was not happy about it. I was very upset. Just when you think, you know, you build for years and years and years, you build, and this is your break. It's right there and it's snatched from in front of you.
Well done, Charms.
I'm still carrying baggage.
Can you tell? I was going to say.
I'm going to give you a 23 as well. I like that.
Thanks, Jimmy.
A lot of passion. It was good. I could see you're hurt. I'm sorry what happened. But I can do fuck all about it. So you take 23 points.
All right, thank you. That was good. That was a good question. All right. 53 minutes in. We got three left here. All right. Wonga, you're up.
Well, why don't we not ask mine and we'll do because we're going to be going till like an hour and a half, right?
Yeah. So do the rear and supporters.
Yeah,
we can. Yeah, you don't mind bumping.
I don't mind mine. I can't answer the supporters. No one did anything charitable in my life. Neither did I.
I had a good answer. For
I
that
struggled
one,
with that one as well.
Yeah, I was like, no, I'm like, what the fuck? I didn't have time for that shit.
So what shall we do?
What do you want to do?
What are we doing?
You're making the decision.
Let's just go through it all like, as per plan.
All right. I'll go. Okay? Jonathan David celebrated his 24th birthday this week. 24 was a critical year in my life. You've made some big decisions already, but are still forming your approach to life/career. Where were you and what were you doing January in your 24th revolution around the sun? What had you learned and still carry with you? And I'm going to go with Jimmy first.
When I was 24?
Yep. Oh, you're well prepared.
I was in Norwich. I think 24, that's when we got promoted to the Premier League. So that was the year that I was playing Premier League football.
It's pretty good for 24.
Yeah. And what had you learned and still carry with you? Because the world was changing right in front of your face, even in your career with going up to the Prem, being promoted.
What did I learn from being 24?
Well, just
not necessarily.
You're really breaking this down.
let's get it right here.
Like what did you learn?
I think from my experience in this game, this is all I can share with you. Mm-hmm. Is there's no such thing as loyalty. Okay. No such thing as loyalty. That's all out the fucking window, by the way. And you look after yourself and you do what's right for you and your career and nobody else. And that's what I got out of this game of football. Because when you're done, nobody gives a shit.
You were 24 and jaded, is what you were.
He was brilliant.
Hey, I've been through a lot. I moved over there when I was 17. Yeah. I grew up quick.
What you should have said was,
I realize there's nobody you can trust. You got to look after yourself because nobody really gives a shit about you. You got to support yourself and do what you need to do.
By 24, you learned that you weren't a very good striker.
No, that was when I was 17, Charms, and I got pushed back to left back because he couldn't hit a barn door.
I like that answer because I believe in professional sports and even in a lot of things, they push loyalty on people and then they don't follow through on their side.
No, of course they don't. Yeah, you don't, it's ridiculous. You don't play for the badge. You play for yourself.
27. I'm giving that 27. Yeah, I like that.
27 points? Okay, good. That's good.
Okay, Amy, you thrilled me, angry Amy, with your answer.
I used to say you play for the badge. But then after, when you realize when it's all, nobody gives a shit what you're doing, you play for yourself. It's your career. You do what's best for you.
I love that answer.
Embittered.
Libertarian.
As this episode.
No, but it's true. Like, the clubs that I played for, I support and I like them. And I'm like, yeah, I support them. I watch to see what they're doing. But at the end of the day.
God, we need the brush at the Apollo or like the giant cane. Like,
he's not going to stop. He's not going to stop. Yang is building the resort.
Like. He still gets a 27. Amy, oh my God. My God.
27. Get it up. Yep.
Okay, yep. I'll be quick. My 24th year was a challenging one. I mean, in what I was living, but also if you see any photos from that year, it was a rough one. I played in the WSA for the Bay Area Cyber Rays and Atlanta. And I was largely a failure as an international pick in the draft. I went 24th overall, and I wasn't picked up for the next year. So it taught me some humility and also that Amy the soccer player did not necessarily define Amy the person. And it was a tough lesson at 24.
That's great. That's a 27 and a half, Charms.
Yes. Nice.
I like that.
Half, okay, that's excellent.
Yeah, because it needed to beat. It's giving people room to beat Jimmy, but that was a great answer.
It was.
Hey, Charms, I'm going to let you go.
24, I just finished school, university. I was working part-time at the score, and I needed money badly. And I said, listen, by March, if I haven't got full-time, then it's maybe time to find a real job. And then I finally just got hired, I think, around about March, or maybe just before full-time. So I learned that perseverance is everything in life. Stick with your dreams. It might come true.
Oh, that's a good one. Huh? Huh? You know what? I like that. That's a 27 and a half, too.
Isn't it overly earnest, wasn't it?
No. Bit. You know, like every once in a while, you know, when we get Charms being earnest instead of Andy Bitterman, then I'm happy about that. Like, once again, he's being compared to himself. Mm. Rian.
Yeah. So I was playing in Norway, but what I remember about it is I have a twin sister. And I think when we were 24, she started talking about having a quarter century party, and it really freaked me out. And I was always very serious. And I think around 24, I was very dialed in to my career, but I started to relax a little. I think it started to, as I got older, just loosening up a little, because Jimmy said it in a really angry manner, but there is this piece that, like, all for the badge, or you have to do everything right. And it just sort of took until my 20s to just start to relax a bit and sort of enjoy life a little.
So was that, what was the lesson you think you learned from that? Was it about loosening up and seeing
the bigger
picture?
The lesson is, like, there's this life, right? Like, enjoy it. And it's such a privilege to get to play soccer for a job. I mean, for women, it is very new, and it definitely at 24, I wasn't making any money, but I also wasn't losing any, which was a huge step for the women's game at the time. And so to just enjoy that and to have the experience of living in Norway and to travel. And then that really changed how I started to do my job. I made it an experience.
You know what? I'm really, all of these takeaways are fantastic. So a 27 and a half again.
Oh, yeah. I knew by a half. Come on. Yep.
JC, you get the final.
Well, not too exciting, but when I was like January, when I was about 24, I suppose, I was realizing that I was not enjoying going to university. I had busted my ass to get to university a few years before that because I never graduated high school. I only got about 16 credits in high school because I could never go. It's not like I was skipping school. I just slept all the time. I was a very depressed guy. It's true. It's, no, it's okay. But I was very depressed as a kid, like so depressed that I never went to school ever. I was smart enough to do all my to do well in all the tests, but I just never got any. I never went to school, so I never got the grades. I'd always get 50s, but that was it because it's all I could give me because I never showed up. I got into school and I went in and I was doing sociology, psychology, that kind of thing. But that year I had scammed my way into radio and just started prank calling radio stations and ended up getting a job on the air. I wasn't getting paid for it, but I was on every single day. They'd call me in the morning, be like, we need to do this, record this, blah, blah, blah. So I was doing that and I wasn't getting paid for it, but I knew that it was something that I wanted to do. So around that time, I'm like, I'm not going to continue with school. I still did it. But then later that year, I ended up going to school for like Humber for comedy, dropped out of that too. But I knew that I wanted to do something with my voice because I was good at that. I was shit at everything else except for I could talk my way in and out of stuff. So, but that was like the pivotal moment. But also I was probably going to really bad bars in London, Ontario at the same time as well. So anyway, that's where I was.
What was there a lesson that you pulled from that you've kept today?
Yeah, it was if your gut tells you something, AKA if you don't like something, don't do it just to appease others because you think you should do it. Mm-hmm. And drive a skidoo down the road really fast in Fort Erie.
Was that what that was?
Oh, yeah. Amazing. All day, all night long.
I like that answer. I like that answer. 26.
26, sir. Man.
Yeah.
I'll get to a 30.
Who's up next? Charms, you got to make the call. This is our...
okay. So it's Rian's turn.
Rian.
Yeah.
You're Rian on mute, Wilkinson. Rian.
You muted yourself.
You're muted. Rian. Minus 10 points.
Minus 10. FIFA handed out its best awards this week. Who is the best opponent in your position you ever faced and why? And I'll start with Amy.
Okay. So, I mean, you might expect me to go with like a Christine Lilly or a Michelle Akers or a Hamari Sawa, but actually I will go with Charmaine Hooper. And
she's good.
Yeah. Incredible. And intimidating, but like in the best way possible because she's wearing the same colors as you. So you always want those players on your team, right? But I'm going to sort of selfishly bring it back to me because like she was all brute strength. She was power. She was experienced, larger than life. She completely bossed the field. She could piss on the field in a hurdler stretch. I kid you not. She ate cans of tuna fish on the bus. And also whole avocados, and she would pull out the salt to salt the avocado. She was distinctive, she was unique, and she was Charmaine. And no one could say a fucking thing because it was Charmaine. Mm. And I remember playing 1v1 against her at Nottawasaga, and that matchup and the fact that I held my own against somebody that I revered gave me such confidence that it sort of spurred me on, but it also gave me clout within the group because I was able to hang with Charmaine.
That's a great answer.
And did you share an avocado?
No, she never fucking shared.
No, she did pee on the field with her though.
Oh my God. It was an art form, you guys. She would do like the hurdler stretch and then just be chatting after practice and then just subtly just pull her shorts to the side and just
The guys did the same thing.
It's easier for guys.
We just pull it to the side, let it hang out. Have
way easier though.
Yeah, it's way easier for guys. Huge props to Charmaine for that.
Yeah. That's really impressive that you guys do that as well. That's amazing.
Well, no, you not us guys, just Charmaine. No one else could do
finally,
it.
Jimmy's got a massive respect now for women's soccer. Finally,
I like all that kind of stuff.
And actually, Rian and Amy lose points because they don't do it. Oh, you don't do it? Yeah. What's wrong?
I'd have pissed like all the way down to my boots. Like it would just be a nightmare.
We have a new video component to our website coming up. We maybe get the cameras out for this one.
It's going to be like an OnlyFans thing, right?
Available that day.
Points-wise there, Rian, what do you think?
10 points?
Yeah. You don't know my grading system? Okay. All right, Sherms.
Okay, so back in 2006, Women's Rugby World Cup in Edmonton, the score pandering. Actually had the rights to the whole tournament.
Pandering. You know Rian loves rugby.
Okay, you know what? You're losing a lot of points right now. a lot of points. No, 2006 Women's World Cup, the score actually had the rights to the whole tournament, and I got to call some games, first time ever doing rugby. And I thought I did a pretty good job, you know, I felt good about myself. And then towards the end, for the semifinals, they brought in a guy called Nigel Starmer-Smith, who is one of the great commentators in world rugby. He was incredible, played the game professionally, played for England. He was just the best at what his craft was. Amazing pipes, knew so much about the players. And then just sitting beside him in the booth and watching him go to work and how good he was, realized how shit I was, how far I had to go. And it destroyed my confidence. And I never got back in the booth again. That last part isn't true, but it really helps for the answer here, I think.
I like it. I remember actually watching a lot of that. But eight, good job with the rugby.
Thank you. Heather Moyes was huge in that one.
She was brilliant. Nice before she went to, was it?
Bobsled, right?
Mm-hmm. Jimmy?
Eight points. Jesus.
That's right.
Can you repeat the question? Sorry, I had a call at stake.
Minus 10.
No.
So FIFA handed out its best awards this week. Who's the best opponent in your position?
Please be clear. Or who I played against, correct?
Take
or opponent. In my position.
Opponent is usually.
You said opponent, right? Okay. I would say when we played against Cameroon, I played against Jeremy, who was playing right back at the time in the Confederation Cup. He was at Real Madrid. And I mean, he had a little bit of a tough time as well because he had Michel Sagado, who was in his position, but he played quite a few games at the time, and he was just breaking into the squad. And playing against him, it was awesome because the two of us were pushing each other, going back and forth, and I was getting forward. And he ran with the modern wingbacks. You're trying to outdo each other. You're trying to push each other back as much as you can, and it's the strongest and the fittest who's going to win that individual battle. So I had a great game against him there. And then I would probably say when I was at Norwich, I was playing center midfield against Liverpool and Stevie Gerrard. And Stevie Gerrard was unbelievable. What a player he was. Just his movement. And I'm trying to track him. I'm trying to get away from him, get some space. But his movement, his thought process was amazing. So probably those two individuals that I played against where I was like, yeah, these are ballers.
Eight. Love it. I had to repeat the question. So you lost some points, but
eight.
JC.
Sorry, Jimmy.
This one's kind of a personal one. So I had an audition, because I'm a voice actor, I guess that's what I do. I was at an audition maybe 3 or 4 years, no, maybe four or five years ago, let's say. And it was a huge cattle call, and all the people that came in, they were all guys that I've kind of grew up watching. So there was Steve Anthony from Much Music. Mm-hmm. There was what's his name from from City TV. Talk like this. It's late great movies on.
Oh,
anyway,
yeah, Mark.
No, it wasn't him. It was the other guy, and he was a sports guy on City TV.
Oh, Spike.
Either way, John Gallagher. Yeah. So him, and then there was all these other like actors, like Canadian actors and voice people that I recognized, and then there was me, and I'm like, what the fuck? What am I doing with all these people? And I didn't get the gig, but the fact that they put me in this room, and you know, a few years before that, I didn't think I had I was capable of anything, but then when I was in this room with all these people that I sort of admired growing up, I'm like, shit, okay. I feel like now I've boosted my confidence big time. And it was cool to, we're all competing against each other, but knowing that I was in that same pool as these guys, that's where, you know, it really did a lot for my confidence. So, yeah.
Nice. All right. 8.5, but I am bumping Jimmy to a 9 because I just repeated that he played against Stevie G, is it? So
fuck, I knew you were going to do that.
Well, it's a 9. For Jimmy.
All right, fine.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah. Ryan's a massive Liverpool fan. You knew this, didn't you? It's a strategic answer.
I played against Liverpool. Can I get 10?
No. But
we've got to get moving here. Oh, no, there's no. Where's Wonga gone? He's disappeared.
I played with Peter Crouch. Can I have another one? No.
You're Ronaldo as well.
I do like Peter Cousins. That's a good point.
Yeah, Wonga's disappeared. So I think Wonga will miss his go. Okay, how about that? Wonga will miss his chance to answer that question. Okay, so we'll move on now to the final
minus
question.
10.
You're minus 10. You're not, minus 10 for Wonga. Yes. And for you too, Dubs.
Oh, come on.
Minus 10.
I'm never going to win this thing.
Okay. All right. So this is the supporters. Supporters question. Okay. It's fantastic. All right. By the way, Rian, great question, by the way. It's a lot of thought put into that question. It was brilliant. All right. Supporters. So this past week, I'm not sure if you saw Kyle Aaron at Mallorca in the Copa del Rey quarterfinals, showed an incredible display of kindness. He stopped his celebrations to console a young 7-year-old boy in tears after his club lost, but also left the pitch and returned with a shirt for the young boy, right? Lovely. The question is, what is the nicest thing, the best random act of kindness you've seen on the pitch for our former footy pros or in your work environment for our non-footy pros? It can be something you did as well. It could be anything. Best act of kindness, be real quick, okay? Dubs, let's start with you.
Okay. I will just say, on a soccer field, there I was not giving out any random acts of kindness. That was not happening for me. So I have nothing to offer from my own personal playing experience because I was tackling the shit out of people as my job. Yeah. But the one thing that comes to mind is it's not really pitch, it's basketball court. And I was so angry at my mom because my mom was the kindest person ever. We were playing a basketball game. We're rolling the team and we switched ends after the half. And off the tip off, a girl started going the wrong way and was about to score in her own basket. My mom was on the side and was like, no, Lovey, you're going the wrong way. I was furious at my mom. But that my mom was this kind-hearted individual and I was not.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Although it's also horrible at the same time.
Yeah.
I'll give you 10 points for it. I'm following Rian's scoring mechanism here, okay? So 10 points for you. Okay, JC.
I guess it was this summer. I was on the beach, you see, and I saw there was a bird that was had a little issue with its wing, but it was there was all these other birds, and this one bird came over and like threw up in front of the other bird, like the whatever it had gotten out of Lake Erie, and then the other bird ate it.
Oh,
so it was as if that bird was saying, "Here, I know you can't quite fly and get these, you know, get the fish out of Lake Erie, which are probably gross anyway, but here, eat my fish." So that to me was just, it was just remarkable to see. Not that that was my job, but or on the pitch, but maybe it was. Maybe they were pitching each other a show or something. Whatever.
That is an act of kindness. Oh,
it was there at the moment.
There you go.
Yeah, that's nice. another 10 points there, I think, for that one. That's nice.
I'll take it.
Animals represent.
Word.
Okay, Jimmy, act of kindness.
Act of kindness. I was playing at TFC during warm-ups. I smashed this ball. It hits a crossbar. Just grazes it over top. Guy sitting there. He's got his drink. He's sitting with his kids. He's got his, you know, hot dog and nachos. And I hit him square in the chest. Knocked everything over. Everything over. Fucking everything's flying off. And I run over to him. I'm like, are you okay? I'm giggling a little bit, but I'm trying to keep a straight face because of the way it all happened. And I had to call down one of the people that worked at the club. And I was like, listen, can you go get him what he ordered? Right. I'll pay for it. And then I took my warm up top and then I had to go get a couple other things to give him and his kids that were sitting beside him because they were covered in pop, food, everything.
Nacho cheese.
Oh, you should have seen it. It was, you know, when you hit something and it just goes, it was like that. It went everywhere.
That is good. All right.
Hey,
10 points.
Hey, Jimmy. What do you call cheese that's not yours?
What?
Nacho cheese.
Minus 10. So, dogs making a beat in there. All right. All right. Wong has lost another 10 points.
Where the fuck were you? In the bath?
I don't know. He just left. Rian, most selfless, beautiful thing you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah, I was coaching the 17s 2018 Youth World Cup, and my team knocked out Germany. Big upset, great game. And The staff were going nuts celebrating. We looked over and all our players were consoling the Germans. All the adults were losing our mind, and it was a reminder, yeah, that it was a pretty cool thing to watch these young people handle it in a way that adults have forgotten how to. They picked them all up and they all celebrate. Like, the Germans ended up sort of celebrating with the team at the hotel that night. It was a weird situation. Wow.
You can tell that Amy Walsh wasn't on that team, eh?
No, it wasn't. No. It was such an innocence, you know. It was really sweet. I mean, I give a shock.
Great story.
I was going to give extra points because it was Germany that the beat, but I'm taking that back because it's also a little bit weak, you know. It's nice and everything, but shouldn't sport be about hatred and anger?
I don't know. It was the tied for the best ever result Canada's ever had at a World Cup.
No kidding, well, Germany. Yeah. Okay, give you the extra points. All right. There you go. Okay, I've got one for you, but someone else can judge me for this one, okay? Because I can't give myself points.
Because she judges harshly.
Rian, you can judge this one. Mm-hmm. So back in, it must have been 2 years ago now, I forget. Good friend of us, the pod, lost his job as a coach at a certain club in the Canadian Premier League. And you know, this pathetic creature, like, just, you know, head down, tail between his legs, you know, what am I going to do now? And we offered him a job on Footy Prime to join us on a full-time basis. Couldn't pay him at the time. But Jimmy Brennan, his life was salvaged that day by the likes of myself and the Footy Prime crew.
Ten.
All right.
So dumb.
All right, we got through it in only an hour and 17 minutes.
Oh my God, we got to tighten this shit up.
All right, listen, can you guys talk about something while I just total the totals up here?
Yeah, do you think anybody does the whole, like, hour 17 minutes?
No.
I think they tune out after 40.
Yeah, I think even Carrie said, who was like head of our supporters club, that she had to do it in two parts last time. So, I mean, it's a bit of an indictment on the program, I think. Yeah.
I've got an honorary one for Dan Wonger, if you want to talk about random acts of kindness. About a month ago, Dan and I went out for wings, as we like to do. And we like to go on the days when they're half price. And as most folks know, half price wings are not to be taken away. They are to be eaten in the restaurant, and that is it. But at the Gabby's by Dan Wong's house in the Junction, there was a wonderful, wonderful waitress who doesn't mind and will order a big bunch, and she'll come over and say, "I brought you a takeout container." And she lets us just pile it on and take it out. And she'll, the one weekend, she said, "Hey, you can even, if you want to order more, you can just add them into the box." So we did. So I feel like Dan Wong would say, that's a random act of kindness she didn't need to do. So there you go. There you go, Carrie. That's for you.
Nice. I like that. There you go, Carrie. Mm. All right. Beautiful. Got the totals here, okay? Got the totals here. In dead last place, it shouldn't surprise us, but it's a Daniel Horatio Wong. No. 74 points. He just finished 2 points below the second last member of today's show, Jimmy Brennan.
No. How do I go from... like 2 points behind Forrest last one to that.
It's a very good question. Dubs, 95 and a half points. You may have won this thing had you not blown about 50 points throughout the entire quiz. JC, you are next. I am just ahead of you, according to my very quick arithmetic here. It doesn't matter because by a mile, the winner, and so it should be. She filled in for Craig Forrester. She of the broadcast, legend of Canadian football, Rian Wilkinson. Congratulations, you've won the 66. How do you feel about that?
Pretty good about it, actually. It's been a slow week, so big win for me.
You gotta do a sexy dance now.
I did it.
Yes.
That was it. Six.
Well, it is time now, actually, roll in maybe I've got time for the extra music for the 66. Although it's pretty good, though, isn't it? You know, what's an extra 25 seconds, right? Roll it, JC.
A great song.
The hottest takes on the hottest questions from the hottest team in sports. This is the Sexy Six.
There are six questions. There's six of us. That's why they call it 66 questions.
Footy Prime presents the Sexy Six. All right.
Et cetera. Yeah, thank you. That was Sexy Six. All right, now it's time for the other roll-in of great music by Jeff Cole. It is time for...
Are you ready?
Yes, sir. DJ Mellow D.
All right, so let's get to it very quickly here. Very quickly here. This is all courtesy, of course, TonyBet.ca. Our supporters have given us two bets. The first one, if you check out the Supporters Club on Twitter, we've reposted it on Footy Prime as well. Alan Scholes used a dartboard to pick his picks this week. He picked, therefore, Bournemouth to beat Liverpool, Brighton to beat Wolves, and Palace to beat Arsenal. $5 will win $358. So come on, Scholesy. Your dart, your form is beautiful. Luke Littleton, whatever his name is, has nothing on you. They also gave us another bet, a more cerebral bet. Leeds to beat Preston North End in the Championship, Villa to beat Leicester, in the women's, and West Ham to beat the Blades as well. So that would bring you $28.35 for a $5 bet. We've put in our bets, and they're already in there, so no discussing. Brentford to beat Forest, that's Wonga's bet. Why? We have West Ham to beat the Blades. That was my bet.
Why?
Jimmy, you had America, Club America to beat Querétaro.
Yes.
In Liga MX.
Sí, amigo.
Dubs in the Serie A, what do you call the Serie A women's division? What's it called?
The Serie A women's division.
Oh, that's the one. Okay. Fiorentina to beat to ASD Pomigliano or something. Mm-hmm. And JC, now you weren't around to submit your bet. You were driving all day. So I took the liberty of picking one for you. And when I saw this, it just screamed, JC. This is the, it's called, what else is it called? It's called Floorball.
Swedish Love Floorball.
And Vajsko are at minus 10,000 to beat Hagunda.
Did you say Vajsko?
No love lost between Vajsko and Floorland. Yeah.
So all those, including that minus 10,000, $5 will bring us $34.95.
It's pretty good. I'm
feeling good about that one, yeah. Thanks, it's all right, isn't it? That's on TonyBet.ca. Man, we're approaching the hour and a half mark. We should definitely go right now. Rian, thanks so much. When are you guys doing the next broadcast, by the way?
I don't know.
You're the one that organizes it.
I know, and I don't know. I need to talk to Rian and Claire.
All right. Well, Rian's right here, isn't she?
Yes. We will not add to the length of this podcast by having that discussion.
We will not.
No.
Soon.
Soon. Okay, good. Soon. We promise you that. FuboTV.com. FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Sign up, subscribe, and watch the Premier League. It's back this week. Five more big games, of course. And win some money on TonyBet.ca. That was a Sexy Six. We will do our best to figure this thing out so it doesn't last an hour and 23 minutes next time, I promise you. Of course, did the same thing last week, didn't I? And we failed miserably. So keep buying newspapers and cheers for listening.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by FuboTV and by TonyBet. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG.
You need like a gong or like a bell.
I know,
and then you lose points if you go over like a minute or something.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.